from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Let's go, baby. Let's start this week. Hey, one time for Monday, one time for the end of the preseason. Hey, and one time for y'all out there. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, man. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful Monday.
Yes,
beautiful
indeed. Monday. Welcome in. You heard my man. The Monday, August 26th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Bone himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
Where am I from
the slums of Sacramento.
Where am I from?
The slums of Sacramento, we in here. That's my bad for not getting that drop on the board. I give you my word, it will be there by the end of the week. Slums of Sacramento will be on the board. Shout out Corey Graves for that one.
It's hilarious.
That's
wild. Shout out, man. Shout out.
Solo pool Jacob from the slums of Sacramento.
Now, see...
What? Sir, what part of Sacramento are you speaking of?
Now, see, I don't think I knew Jacob was from Sacramento. Or is he from Sacramento?
No, I think that he is. Those brothers, come on. Sam, the Tonga kid.
Okay.
He used to be with the Islanders in the 80s. And I think the Samoan SWAT team in the 90s.
Damn.
He lived out here.
Wow.
He might live currently out here. I know he used to be a fan of my morning show on 102.5 many years ago. Mm. He actually, when, you know, this was 2004, he hit the stage with me at Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, snap.
But he had just bleached his hair. So I think people thought he was Rikishi because he looked exactly like his brother, dead on like his brother. But yeah, that family, boy, they live. Yeah, they out here.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. So it's going to be a homecoming on the 20th.
I mean, Solo, we know, is American River College, right?
Yeah, man. Shout out Solo, ARC, stand up. Yeah, man. Look, it's going to be a homecoming.
Hey, what's ARC again?
The Beavers.
Is it the Beavers? That's what I thought. I was like, nah, it's not the Beavers. No, I think it is.
This sounds crazy, but if you told me, hey, KC, I need you to drop something off at ARC, I wouldn't know how to get there.
Okay. It's not the craziest.
It's, I mean, I've lived here my whole life. I should know how to get
it. It's
ARC.
Not the craziest. You're probably up like, at ARC. Oh my God. Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
I think that's where I turned my knee. The toughest injury to date for your boy was that Hoop It Up at American River College. And I can tell you as recently as maybe six years ago, it's been a while, but at least five to 6 years ago, my man Io Taylor had the Hoop It Up 96 plaque at his parents' house above the fireplace. It was right there, the trophy for that tournament.
Man, that Saturday at Hoop It Up, and it was one of them days.
Oh, yeah.
Saturday at Hoop It Up was one of them days.
Yes, it was.
Saturday at Hoop It Up, Black Family Night at the
State
Fair.
Well, that was the other one.
You know what
I
mean? It was one of them 5 days that you circle on the calendar.
That night always ended early, but no, it was. And I always ended early, and y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. We did not make it to midnight.
Make it to the midnight close.
Literally perpetuating every stereotype in history at Black Family Night on the fair.
Oh boy, that Saturday at Hoop It Up, when the girlies was outside, I had to make sure my game was tight. I had to make sure.
Hoop It Up was the tournament you went shopping for before it started.
Sure. Oh, for sure, man. Hey, I'm playing on court 19. Come see me. I'm on court 19.
Court 19. Yeah,
good
man.
Good times. But yeah, I don't know how to get to ARC right now. I only outside, like, honestly, I've only been to ARC maybe 10 times in my life. So is it in North Highlands?
No, it's like Fair Oaks-ish.
Oh, that sounds about right. Yeah.
It's like Fair Oaks-ish. Yeah. It's tucked in like kind of a, it is tucked in kind of a weird area.
Isn't it sort of near like the old building we used to look at?
Yeah, it's around the corner.
They got so a nice football field. I remember
you went to that. Well, you went when you got the round of applause for the meeting that you were late for. You went that was at that building, right?
I
was on time.
I couldn't get in either when I called for help. Hey guys, let's show up on time, huh? Kenny's 5 minutes after us. He can't get in either.
We walk in.
Hey, KC.
Hey, boss. Needed to go get Dame. He didn't have his fob, and we haven't been here in a while, so I had to let him in. Yeah, whatever, idiot. Sit down, jackass.
No, that's pretty much how it went. But yeah, it's like around the corner from that old building.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right.
But yeah, shout out to the.
I don't know
that would constitute the slums of Sacramento.
I don't know where you're talking about.
But I don't know either. Maybe we could try to get Corey Graves on the show.
Nah, I ain't gonna go south.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I like my people out there, man.
Don't do that. We in here. There's a lot to talk about. We're happy that you're here with us. Phone lines open for you, 916-909-1320. Shout out to the Chatty House, brought to you by Matthews Mattress, where the Labor Day sale is jumping off right now. We'll tell you more about that as the day progresses. And we got news this morning, one of the big figurative shoe drops.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb. I was bugging out this morning. It was in the notes for later in the show. Obviously, we're rearranging things here. A little bit, but I heard Schefter say this morning on Good Morning.
Oh boy, NFL countdown's on.
That the Cowboys and CD were $1 million apart, and that I'm thinking like, what are we doing?
That sounds crazy.
We're talking about one of the very best wide receivers in the game. We're talking about $1 million difference,
right.
And I just thought that was ridiculous. We had heard. I think we had heard 1 to 2 million like last week, like maybe at the Cowboys were at 33, CD one at like 35 or 36. I couldn't remember what it was. If it was 35, obviously that meant in the middle. It looks like the average annual value was 34, which is just below what Justin Jefferson makes. Jamar Chase returned to camp today. He's in a different situation in the city. We'll talk about all of this is obviously setting the table for what happens with Brandon Ayuk, but CeeDee Lamb gets his deal and. The first big dollar figure for the Dallas Cowboys is out there.
Yeah, and, you know, it's getting to the time where these guys got to make decisions about whether or not they want to stand on business when it comes to their contract or they want to continue to kind of play and actually what's the word I'm looking for? Like, you're, as a professional athlete and everything, you are a brand to a certain degree. That's what a lot of people try to say nowadays. They're a brand, but you have to get back to where the the brand is made, so to speak. Like, you can only be a brand if you're playing mm-hmm. to a certain degree. And sometimes you got to make the decision. Like, am I going to, nah, man, I need this extra $3 million per year, and I'm going to disregard what made me a brand in the first place? Mm-hmm. Or are you going to say, you know what, I got to get out there because it hurts the brand if I'm not out there, or whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. And I don't know. I mean, it's CD and the Cowboys, they came to an agreement. Ja'Marr Chase, at least, you know, seems to be looking like he's moving towards working in good faith with the Bengals. Mm-hmm. Brandon Ayuk, who knows what he's doing? We were in mm-hmm. here in the studio on Friday, and I'm like, yo, Brandon Ayuk's at the game. He's coming in with the team at Allegiant Stadium. You're like, wait,
what? What's that say to you?
It said to me, my first thought is, this is a mess. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Clearly, I shouldn't say clearly. I don't know what your end game is. Like, mm-hmm. do you want to be a 49er? Do you look at yourself as a 49er right now and you're trying to figure out this contract and you're like, nah, this is going to get done fairly soon, so I'm going to be with my guys? Or are you just playing some type of game?
Mm-hmm. It feels like the hold in is a good faith gesture, despite the fact all of the stuff that is going on. There was a rumor late last, I think it was Friday. I think it got squashed pretty quickly because Brandon Ayuk wound up being at that game, but I'm pretty sure this was from Friday, that the Commanders conversation has sparked back up again. It doesn't appear that has gone anywhere, and ultimately Brandon Ayuk has a lot of say in this because no team's going to want to trade for him if he's not going to wind up signing with them. It feels as ridiculous as Schefter's quote that the Cowboys and the CeeDee Lamb are $1 million apart. Right. You look at this and you see Brandon Ayuk there. You hear that quote from Schefter. Like, why don't we get this done? Right. Like, what is going on? And today's a big day. Kyle Shanahan hinted at it yesterday that there was going to be a lot of movement. We've already seen, you know, the roster being trimmed down. Mm-hmm. Throughout the day, there was a report from ESPN that Trent Williams he's not budging. I think that was the headline. Like, Trent Williams, he's going to continue to hold out. And maybe of the two, maybe that's the one that I maybe misinterpreted a little bit.
I think we all misinterpret a lot of that.
Maybe there's more there than
crazy
guaranteeing money that he's already, you know, likely going to make, and all of these, you know, maybe I think I was just off on that. Maybe it's a little more complicated than get the Ayuk deal done, then getting that one done. They're probably trying to work through both of them right now.
Right.
Whereas I kind of thought that I've said this repeatedly. I kind of thought the Trent Williams thing was a formality.
I agree with you. I thought the same thing. You can never, you know, just like guarantee stuff nowadays because, you know, so much information is out there and you never know how it's going to play out.
But, and so much misinformation.
So much misinformation. But Mayoko was out there, I think, on Saturday. And it only registers because Mayoko doesn't really just kind of throw things out there. It doesn't have to be right all the time, but it's coming from a pretty, you know, informed place. He was on his podcast and was just saying, like, yeah, I'd be surprised if this went past the week for both of these guys. He said I would be really shocked if that happened. So there's probably some belief around 49ers headquarters that something can get done this week, but who knows anymore? Who knows? And we've already stated, like I said, we don't want no updates unless it's what's That's happening.
Right. Yeah,
you know what I mean. That's where we're at. I don't want to hear. No, they're close. I don't care what shirt Brandon Ayuk was wearing or nothing.
Long
like
sleeve.
I don't care. It's time to get something done.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
On one way or another, or just don't say anything. It's my thoughts.
Yeah, I'm more in the realm of just do something and announce it. I mean, Cowboys got it done. I think that deal was a lot more complicated than the Brandon Ayuk one. I am a little bit more intrigued by the Trent Williams situation than I was a couple of days ago, so we'll follow all of this stuff, man. Kyle Shanahan said it'll be a busy day. It's going to be a busy few days here for teams across the NFL as we're entering the final week with no professional football. College football got underway.
Hey, I was watching.
And my goodness.
I was tapped in.
We'll talk about that. We can touch on a couple of things that happened on Friday night with the Raiders and the San Francisco 49ers. And then Domantas Sabonis spoke at his basketball camp. DeMar DeRozan spoke on a podcast. You'll hear from Kings today. Never a bad thing. Again, we're thrilled that you're here with us at Steelo and KC. Brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Good debate there during the commercial break. We can pick that up another time.
Hey, what the hell is Scooter talking about? Scooter 916 in the Matthews Masters Chatty House. Talking about starting to seriously question KC's Giants fandom. What?
You were wearing a White Sox hat last week when they were playing.
Well, because I knew they were going to lose.
No, you forgot.
Well, there's no that.
You forgot. It's one of the great bits of the show. Like, you forget with all of the baseball hats that you forget. You forget every once in a while you don the team that's your team, which is very much your team,
yeah,
is actually playing.
I don't do it on purpose.
I know you don't, but it's still funny.
It happens all the time, though. It happens all the time. Damn. Who do they play now? They got the day off. I think they play the Brewers.
You don't have a Brewers hat, do you?
No, I've thought about it, though, but no, I haven't. I was hat shopping last week.
That's tremendous. Yeah. Like, not fedoras or like high end, you know, hats. Just looking for baseball hats.
Baseball hats.
How much are baseball hats? I am getting this
too damn much. They're like $55, $60.
Wow. That's a hell of a
deal. I remember when they used to be $25 for the fitted MLB authentic joint. It's crazy.
Why are basketball shorts $85 too?
I don't know. They're fire, though.
They are, but like, why are they so much?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I tried to get some King shorts. Couple weeks ago, and you know, and it wasn't even like the authentics or nothing like that. It's the swingman shorts or whatever. $65. It's crazy. I didn't get those.
Shout out to MapTrition and our friends over at Map Training. Head over to MapTrition.com. Use the promo code DLO1320. Had a great weekend of training. I went outside on Sunday, yesterday. Okay. Yeah, I tried.
What you have going on? What you got going on?
I was kind of flirting. I hit 9 miles on the run. I love the area I live in. Didn't realize how many hills there were.
Well, I mean, that's when you.
I went about
up there with the rich people.
Don't do that.
That's where I'd be at.
It was like 2 miles straight up, and then the decline was incredibly like rapid. It was so bad I had to change my playlist. Because I like running to slow R&B records that I can just like mouth the words to, and just I'm coasting, I'm chilling, I'm not running for speed. But then you start going down, and you just have to let the hill. You just got to go.
Yeah,
right. You got to. You got to go.
So I put on
the training playlist and took off going. But the best part about it was the longest run I've done in 10 years, and
here we go.
I was able to recover beautifully this morning and have another really, really good workout. And I know that's because I've been working with my man Greg over at MapTrition.com. Use the promo code DLO1320. They've got the strength enhancers, the fat burners, the cravings crushers. They got a great greens drink that you can get all of the important nutrients from your greens, boost your immune system. You could chug it all at once and not worry about it. They got some sleep helpers as well. It's really good stuff. Again, it's MapTrition.com. Promo code DLO1320. I realize when I say I was outside, that's a little different than what Kenny means when he says he was outside.
I was outside yesterday. I was outside
for a nice little run. That's just, all I meant.
Went over to Fixins, man.
Shout
out to Fixins. Shout out to KJ, man. They just opened a new location in Detroit, and that made me say, yo, we got a Fixins right here.
Mm-hmm.
Need to go to Fixins, man. So I was out there on Sunday, and fantastic. The waffles and the chicken and waffles never disappoints. Never, ever, ever.
So we went in two completely different directions with our Sunday.
yours
sounds a lot better than mine, and CJ's on point.
Good.
D-Lo listening to Anita Baker while running 10 miles. You're not wrong. And part of that is, like, you're not supposed to run, like, super fast when you're training.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what I like. Listen, I'm an R&B guy. I've always been R&B before hip hop. Always,
yeah.
Like, I've loved R&B, love slow records.
I'm the same.
But it was a good Sunday, man. It was a good Sunday, and Monday is off to a good start with the news that CeeDee Lamb has signed with the Dallas Cowboys.
Well,
so now
I wouldn't say that makes it a good start.
Well, the hope being is a domino effect.
Well,
to get some
point.
Of these deals done as things
picture.
Move along. I'm not sure. Just because of the different situation that Ja'Marr Chase is in, I'm not really sure where that one is going. Clearly, they want him. The Bengals, they want Ja'Marr Chase there. How that works out, I'll be curious to see what happens with Brandon Ayuk. Is obviously what we're focused on, and you know, you got Trent Williams, and it doesn't pertain to. Hey, it ain't our business. Y'all figure it out. But the Jets situation is pretty damn funny. And you know what they should do? Wait till week two to get that situated, just in case. week two would be a really good time to get that figured out.
The buzzer and getting that situation taken care of, man. Let that ride a little bit. That's on Reddit. Hold to your guns, big dog.
Did you tap in at all Friday night?
I did. I watched a lot of that game, pretty much the whole game, surprisingly. And it was interesting. I mean, it seems like we avoided, you know, catastrophe with injuries. Leonard Floyd.
I had a couple. Yeah.
Leonard Floyd went
they're
down.
Not catastrophic, but they're not good.
I don't know if he's going to be ready for week one or whatever, but it looked like it could have been season ending at first. So that, you know, it was good that you didn't get a season ending one. But, you know, I watched it. You know, I saw Brock Purdy out there with some of the ones. And he looked like Brock Purdy. Kyle Shanahan's still not calling plays. So hopefully that changes by week one.
Yeah. Yeah, let's hope that changes by week one.
Hopefully Kyle's getting back to calling plays by week one. But
I feel like coaches low-key treat the preseason like it's the preseason for them, too. Like, Sean McVay's been letting others call plays and all that.
Sean McVay did a quarter of commentary.
Yeah, he was
once.
Up in the booth, I think, for the second game.
Man, it's almost to the point where, obviously, they're not going anywhere because they're moneymakers. But, like, these guys don't even play. Like, the players don't even play.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're at the point where the coaches don't even coach.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing with this preseason? This is becoming even more of a waste of time.
You don't think anything is decided in those preseason games?
It feels like the last 10 roster spots are what's decided. That's what it feels.
Is that
like.
A bad thing?
No,
like, okay,
let's
try this again. That was because I think you're 100% right. Let me rephrase this a little bit. Do you think anything position wise at the top of the depth chart is decided in preseason?
No, I think those days are long gone. I don't think Like, I, for instance, you look at the Raiders quarterback situation.
Mm-hmm.
You
look I'd rather not.
You look at the Steelers quarterback situation.
Yeah.
I feel like both of those were already done before the preseason started. And, you know, maybe whoever was second on the depth chart in both of those situations were given the opportunity where if you're like, you go crazy, maybe you give me something to think about if I'm the head coach. But Tomlin and AP, I feel like they already kind of had their mind made up with how they
Well, Tomlin didn't name a starter, did he?
No, but he's going to go with Russell Wilson.
It sounds like it, yeah.
And that's where it was the entire time.
Felt like it.
So outside of like a random quarterback competition that I don't think is really a quarterback competition, doesn't feel like anything else is decided.
Justin Fields would start for the Las Vegas Raiders without a competition right now, wouldn't he?
I don't know. I don't know. You're a little higher on Justin Fields than I am. I gotta see a little bit more from Justin. I gotta see a little bit more from Justin Fields, man.
You might not get that opportunity. That's why. I didn't like, because he went to Pittsburgh second.
Uh-huh.
That's why I didn't like it. I was like, why? Wait, what? And all of the talk was, and there, by all accounts, this is true. They worked with Justin Fields and his team to get him to, you know, hey, we got a couple of teams calling you. Here's this one. Like, yeah. What can we do here for you? And I obviously, I have no idea if the Raiders called, if anyone else called, if a team that potentially had a QB1 spot available, mm-hmm. like the Raiders did, called. Mm. But I didn't like the Pittsburgh move because they had already had Russell Wilson, and I felt like that's, it's going to be Russell Wilson's job.
Maybe they felt Russ was gettable.
Well, yeah, maybe.
Chasing him down.
Maybe, and it's a year deal, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much time you have left on Justin Fields, because I think Justin's still on the rookie contract.
Yeah, I think he's got the same
situation. So this is it.
Yeah.
You could have two completely different quarterbacks in on your roster next year if you're Mike Tomlin. Now, I'm sure he's not going to care, but that's just weird.
Yeah. I'm with you. I hear all your reasoning about Justin Fields not going to Pittsburgh, but my thought is him and his team probably thought, you know, we can outperform Russell Wilson here and get that spot, and we're working with a guy like Coach Tomlin,
mm-hmm.
who's going to look out for us and take care of us. So, and by all accounts, he has. He just hasn't elected him to be the starting quarterback. But, you know, he's working with them. He's doing everything he can to give him the best opportunity possible.
It doesn't have anything to do with my question, because I specifically asked you about the top of the depth chart, meaning one.
Mm-hmm.
Did Josh Dobbs win the backup role for the 49ers?
I don't know. He won it in the second
game. I thought he played really well.
I thought he played really well as well. So, but I was also listening to Mayoko about this too, and – It's interesting. Like, we saw Josh Dobbs make plays and do some good things, but we're not necessarily sure what that means, right? Mm-hmm. Was he making plays because and holding on to the ball too long because he wasn't reading the defense right or making the right reads on the offensive end? Like, if Kyle's like, hey, well, Kyle wouldn't call the plays, but you know what I mean? If he is calling the plays, he's like, we're running 2XY banana, and your read is Debo, second read is Kittle, one of those two should be open. And, you know, all right, coach. And he runs the play, and he looks at Debo, and Debo's open, but he doesn't let it go, and then he goes to Kittle, and Kittle's covered, and then he's got to scramble around, and, oh, look, I found Juwan Jennings for 13 yards down the field. Kyle may look at that as, bro, I told you who was going to be open. He was open. Hit him. You know what I mean? We look at it as this was a great play. Like, sure. He made a great play, but you never know if Kyle could be looking at that or any coach could be looking at that as, like, yeah, you made a good play, but more times than not, you're not going to be able to do that. I drew up a play because this guy was open. This is the most consistent thing. I need you to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. We don't know. So we watched the game. I watched the game. I feel like Josh Dobbs should be the backup quarterback. But maybe he doesn't run the offense the way Kyle Shanahan wants him to.
Kyle Madsen. thumbs up, thumbs down on Josh Dobbs, the backup quarterback? Wow, he went. He just went like
thumb sideways.
He went thumb sideways. No, that's good.
I think it comes from
NinersWire.com for all your hot takes.
And Kyle can let me know. I think he understands. I think, and he said this on Friday. I think he feels he would have Josh Dobbs as the backup quarterback, but he doesn't know if Kyle Shanahan would be
Brandon company. Allen's been around,
right, which is a fair take. But I thought Josh Dobbs played really well.
Man, it's tough to be a quarterback in the NFL. Goodness gracious. Like, Josh Dobbs had some moments last year where he played really well. And there are teams. The 49ers aren't one of them. Mm-hmm. But there are teams that the Raiders are. You're looking at their quarterbacks like, I don't throw Josh in the mix with them.
Yeah.
Shoot, he might beat them both out. Who knows?
I think Josh Dobbs has played really well in the preseason and has earned the backup quarterback spot. But you know, I was watching that game too, and one of the things that kind of stuck out to me, and I wonder what you think about it, I wonder what Jesse or Kyle think about it, is kind of sneaky on the low. Kind of feels like the 49ers draft class is something to kind of be excited about. You know, a lot of these rookies look like they may be players. Now, I don't know if they're superstars. I'm not trying to put a level on it, but guys that you could have on your roster that you can get production from. You know, we talk about spots being won in the preseason. Looks like the right guard spot was won by Dominic Pooney.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He didn't come in as the starter, but he played so well, he might have forced his way into being the starter. You look at what he's been able to do in the preseason. You look at Malik Mustafa, and I like what he's saying. He may not start, but it looks like, oh, man, you might have something there. I like him as a ball player. You guys know I love Jacob County. You know, he got another touchdown on Friday night, or his first touchdown. He didn't get another one, but he got a touchdown on Friday night. I think I saw something where he had 8 touches in the preseason.
Okay.
7 of them went for either a first down or a touchdown. And
ooh, he's that's a new Brandon Ayuk.
That's playmaking ability right there. That's playmaking ability. I like Renardo Green and Isaac Garrido. He had the big 93-yard kickoff return, which I heard is the longest kickoff return so far in the new era of kickoffs. And he looks dynamic.
And that wasn't that right after? Was it the right after they gave one up?
Yeah,
on a punt. Yeah, I think it was a punt return.
Yeah, so he followed it up, and he looks like a ball player. He looks like a playmaker. He's got big time speed. He's explosive, or whatever the case may be. So we're looking at, what did I say? Pony, Mustafa, Cowing, like
5 guys,
Garrido, Green, and that's before I talk about Ricky Pearsall, who's supposed to be at practice.
He's practicing, yeah.
So I always look at the draft, and I wonder, like, what would be considered a good draft, right? People were like, oh, man, this guy that you drafted in the second round is terrible. He didn't make it. And, man, you blew a fourth-round pick on this guy. Like, what's the percentage? I look at, if you got 7 picks, I'm realistic. I feel like I'm realistic about this. If you can hit on 2.
Yeah, I feel like the number's 2.
Yeah, then
if you have 2 good starters.
Draft. Yeah, think about that. If you hit on 2 starters, like you just said, you have a good draft.
Yeah, we're using baseball averages here. Like, that's, I think that's 100% fair.
But people, it feels like if we're saying 2 is a good draft, if you only hit on 1, they're like, oh, what, this draft was a bust. Wait, what? Mm. And now, I say all that to say, now you look at the situation with this draft, they may have 4 or 5 potential rotational players and a couple starters.
I think
in this draft.
I think part of that is we're consumers of content. Now, this does not pertain to D'Lo and KC, but we're consumers of NFL content. We're consumers of San Francisco 49ers content, Las Vegas Raiders, whoever our favorite team is, whatever the case may be. And how often do we hear about the value of picks? Right? Picks. Like, they'll attach a number that you have no idea what name is going to be on the other end in 2 years. See the 2031 pick swap, right? We're so conditioned We're so conditioned.
A damn
pick swap that just is going to destroy the Sacramento Kings' future. We're so conditioned because of the way that the people who cover these respective leagues talk about draft picks that we treat them like we talk about them like they're gold. Mm-hmm. And if you, you know, maybe in the NFL, the first three picks are gold. You know, maybe you get into that fourth and fifth round and you got bronze and everything else is like, if it can work, like it can work. Mm-hmm. But it's never looked at in its totality. It's part of the way, it's part of, at least I believe, and I'm going to believe this until it changes. It's part of the coverage of Brock Purdy. Mm. Brock Purdy was drafted. Brock Purdy's story should be incredible. Every NFL writer should be excited to cover Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. But I feel like they're so insecure because of where he was drafted. They don't really know a lot about him. They were a little confused when the 49ers took him. They didn't really know what was going on. And then he went in there and being the starting quarterback, and they all just kind of landed on their ass. Mm. And they're looking around like, oh, that's Sam Darnold. God damn, that kid can throw the ball. Like, wait a minute. No, what? You would rather hold on to a 10-year wrong, exaggerating a little bit with Sam Darnold, but you'd rather hold on to that wrong than like, hey, what is this last pick of the draft about? Yeah. And I think it's all about the way that we talk about him. I'm 100% in agreement with you. If you land on two of those picks, two starters out of those picks, it works. I think it only gets dicey when you get into the Solomon Thomas, Trey Lance, when you get into like the top. You probably look at top 15, top. You really don't want to miss when you're that high because you, in football, like I know we're conditioned in the NBA. A lot of times, like the Wizards are going to be drafting near the top of the draft, it feels like for a while. In the NFL, that doesn't happen as much. Mm-hmm. You could see quick turnarounds. And that, I think that's what gets everybody when they hear about these draft picks.
Let me ask you and everybody in the chatty house and anybody listening, is this a good draft or a bad draft? Not this one, but this one I'm about to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
49ers draft, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Second round, Drake Jackson, season ending, pop list.
Yeah.
Third round, Ty Davis Price, he's off the roster. Third round, Danny Gray, one career catch. Fourth round, Spencer Burford. He's battling Dominic Pooney for a starting job. Probably going to lose that.
Hmm.
Fifth round, Samuel Womack. 70 defensive snaps in 2023. Sixth round, some guy named Nick Kyla. Oh,
he hit him with the some guy.
12 career offensive snaps. Sixth round, Kalia Davis. 54 defensive snaps. Sixth round, Tariq Castro Fields. Never played for the 49ers.
You're making up names at this point?
That's what's on the list. Seventh round, Brock Purdy.
So the answer is no, it does not feel like a good draft. Like that's one out of seven. It's a really, really important one.
Yeah.
But if I'm judging the draft as a whole, now, admittedly, I was really excited about Drake Jackson headed into this year. I thought, hey, this brother's going to show something. He's not. Like, this is just not going his way. I'd rank that as a bad draft.
So, but let me.
But you landed the most important piece.
You landed like your franchise.
But that means. But to me, it's like you nailed the pick. But maybe as a whole, you missed on the draft. Like, can you separate the two? Can you as a collective, the draft was not good.
Right.
But there's a really big caveat to this. You landed your franchise quarterback. It appears you landed your franchise quarterback.
And we just got done saying, and I agree with you, if you get two starters anywhere, like a safety and a linebacker, it don't even have to be like this, but you got two guys that you are putting in your top 22, that's a successful draft.
But you didn't get two, did you?
No, but we're saying two is a successful draft. Yeah. Can't be an average draft. It's got to be a bad one.
Okay, so.
And it's the quarterback that you found.
So it's one. So. We also got to take into consideration, if we're just doing a pick around, right? So seven total picks. I don't think that's...
That one sounds like a bad
one. I don't think that's a good draft.
That sounds like a bad draft. Do you think it changes if Brock was your first round pick? If you hit
No, I think the conversation is exactly... And everything else is the same.
I think so, too.
I think it's the same. I think you, A, in this case, you just kind of say, it's a weird sentence. You really nailed that final pick of the draft. Like, no one, like, that's, I don't, no one ever says that. Oh, boy, you got that one right, which people still, like, don't believe.
Yeah.
But, I think you judge it exactly the same. Mm. But the conversation, the tone of the conversation might be a little bit different. Mm. Boy, they hit a home run with Brock Purdy there at the, you know, 13th spot in the draft. But, man, Kyle and John, they couldn't find those guys the rest of the way, but. Whoo, you landed your franchise quarterback, and boy, what a kid this guy turned out to be. What a quarterback this guy turned out to be.
I would classify that as a bad draft, but you got away with it. That's how I would classify that one. Like, that was a bad draft. Like, when you got guys, you know, like, I think you could say, you know, nah, it's not that bad if you only have one start out of there. But you've got guys that are contributing or pitching. You got guys that are out of the league in that draft.
Right.
Like, you got there's nothing there outside of the seventh round pick.
Yeah,
that's a bad draft. But you were able to get away with it because you got Brock Purdy, and then the other drafts were so strong.
Well, we do this with, or we've talked about this before with the process. How ridiculous the process in Philadelphia was and how many picks they missed on. They had all of those picks, all of that losing, and they missed on a ton. Hell, at this point, when we first had these conversations, maybe the because I know it's not the first time we've talked about this, but I don't even know that Ben Simmons was in the miss category yet. Now there's no way to avoid it. Like, you missed.
Right.
Now it's there comes a point where you have to, you know, there's a discussion about what happened when the player got drafted. Did the team not miss and just the player didn't work out? Injuries, maybe some mental health things that just didn't really push this so-called process along. But even if you took Ben Simmons out of it, the process to me is the most ridiculous thing maybe in the history of the NBA. You landed Joel Embiid.
Right.
And then you just randomly decided after they won like 39 games, process is over. What? All of that for this? And it goes back to the way this whole conversation started when you asked the question. The way that the people who cover these two leagues talk about draft picks is so over-exaggerated that it makes us believe that there's something that they're really, really not. I don't even know that general managers and coaches look at draft picks the way that media does.
Yeah.
Now, there are probably some analytics, you know, guys who are like, give me 10 picks, because with the Kenny Caraway theory, which I don't think is unfair, now if we can get three players, if the idea is 2 and 7, but we have 10 picks, if we could get 3 and 10, smoke that draft, boy. Smoke that draft. We'll come back.
Interesting.
It is. Yeah, it is. Just as you said it, Ricky Pearsall is out there at practice, according to our friend Nick Wagner. He's wearing a blue no-contact jersey.
Don't touch him. Do not touch him.
Don't touch him. We'll come back. I want to ask you a couple of more things about the 49ers before we shift our attention to the Sacramento Kings. You'll hear from DeMontis Sabonis coming up. You hear from DeMar DeRozan as well. That's all ahead here. We do know in KC, Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. I still don't see the tweet, but Jesse said that it's out there. I guess I'm like searching his real name. I don't even know what to. Oh, what there is it is. Name? Sid Udy.
Oh, man.
Sid Justice. Psycho Sid. I guess he passed away from cancer today.
Damn, man.
Sid inadvertently has some of the funniest moments in wrestling history. Oh, a lot of them are going to be on the timeline today.
Yeah. So
he was there with the Shockmaster, right?
He was out there. Yeah, he was out there because that's who the Shockmaster was talking to. Sid Justice or whatever. I don't remember what his name was in WCW.
How do I say this? Because I'm not going out the window. He's not one of them top guys. Hear me when I say this. I want to have a mature conversation about wrestling.
Yeah.
Can you tell the story of wrestling without Sid Justice?
You can.
I only say that because he's around some moments.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And he's not the central focus of those moments, but he's around
some
big moments.
He has some. I mean, Sid headlined WrestleMania 8 with Hogan. He headlined WrestleMania 13 with The Undertaker. That's two, like, you headline WrestleMania twice. Like, yeah. That's a big deal.
The one I'm thinking of is he was the, I don't know how you would say it, the turning figure after WrestleMania 11 with Shawn. Because didn't
he turned, yeah, Shawn.
Didn't he say Sid cost Shawn that match
or
something like that?
No, what Shawn did was, I think he said something like, take the night off, big fella. I'm going to go at this alone. Or, you know, your services aren't needed or something like that. And Sid got upset, powerbombed him. They wanted to turn Shawn babyface. So they had Sid be the big nasty heel. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that kind of set things up for the next few months.
You're right. You probably can tell the story, but he's just around.
I don't want to like disregard him. Like Sid to me, Sid's biggest thing will always be, he's kind of a what if. Like Sid was massive. Mm-hmm. He couldn't really wrestle, but that didn't like matter back then. He was a big dude. He was ripped to shreds. He had the curly blonde hair. Like, the fans loved him. Mm-hmm. Like, they wanted him to be a heel so bad, you know, at 13, but they're, like, fist bumping him, and he was, like, he was cool. Mm-hmm. Like, he was just genuinely cool. And he's definitely, he's not a figure you should disregard at all.
I thought Psycho Sid was best for him. He was almost, like, the precursor to Randy Orton, like how he kind of snaps sometimes and he just kind of look out there and, oh, he's Psycho Sid. Like, I thought that was best for him. I thought that was a good role. It didn't really pop off the way you maybe they hoped or you would have thought, but I thought that was a good role for him.
There's a couple of things that just, you know, and the poor guy, he could never really find his footing in WWE. They ultimately let him go like multiple times.
He was a bit special.
This is a great point by Toxic 916. First time Hogan really got booed in the WWE was that Rumble when he eliminated Sid. They edited this, and I think it's back on the network the way it was originally presented. Mm-hmm. He throws over Sid. The crowd boos. Sid pulls Hogan out. Ric Flair wins the title. The crowd goes nuts. They get Rick out of there to go cut the famous tear in my eye promo. Mm-hmm. They do the face-to-face because everything has to end with Hogan. They do the Hogan-Sid face-to-face, and Hogan does the da-da-da-da-da with his hand to his ear, and the crowd boos, like loudly boos, and Hogan's face straightens up like he just got the news his stupid-ass biopic was canceled. And Sid hears it, and he looks right at him, and he says, yeah. Boo! Boo! And it was like, oh, we got something. Yeah. Dude, they edited that off of television lightning quick. There are some moments from Sid that aren't necessarily the best, particularly his final run in WCW.
Oh, my! What happened to my car? Goldberg! Where are you? Goldberg! Goldberg!
Moses, where's my car, man?
There's more.
Space
22.
22. 22!
Oh, no.
Goldberg! Where are you? Why me? Why me?
What was going on here? Why did he keep getting his car? What was going on?
He was feuding with Goldberg, so Goldberg kept smashing his car. That's hilarious.
That second clip is the best one.
Why me? Why me? That's not even the best one. If I could find it real quick. I mean, of course, that is the, he did give us, oh, it's live, pal.
Oh, that's a classic.
That's Sid.
That is a
Does he have the one, I think you say it sometimes, it's like, you don't have, I don't have half the brain that you use or something like that. Yeah.
That was a classic.
He has a couple that are just brutally cringeworthy. Shoot, I think back to like Sean in 97, 90, no, Sean in 1996, the Survivor Series, they were at Madison Square Garden. It was still the boyhood dream, Shawn Michaels. Mm. Sid comes out in New York to like a Hogan level pop. Mm. Like he is over big time. And the only reason he got booed in the return is because it was in Texas. It was in San Antonio, in the general vicinity that Shawn Michaels is from.
I like Sid.
Everyone's being nice to Sid and they haven't posted the "We're live, pal," or I got half the brain that you do. God bless Sid, man. I'm just looking at him like I don't know what this picture is from, but like that's a star right there.
Yeah,
like that's like a main event star right there.
It looked like a Vince special.
100%.
I'm surprised he gave up on him.
Oh, I think it's just because he just wasn't reliable. Mm. We'll find him throughout the day.
Yeah.
But if you've never heard the "I'm half the man that you got half the brain that you do." That's some pretty epic stuff.
Who was he talking to? Triple H? Was he talking to Triple H or something?
He wasn't the best on the mic. I think he was talking to Hall and Nash.
That might have been who it was. Yeah,
I think that's who he was talking to. We'll play some of this during the commercial break. Mm. But R.I.P. Sid Justice, yes, Psycho indeed. Sid, 63 years old, man.
You know, that's still young, but it feels like, you know, in wrestling, like he made it a lot longer than some of these other guys from that era.
He did.
Seems like the guys, hopefully, another generation, they get to, you know, live a little longer than some of the. But in Sid's era, that was some hard living they were doing in the game of wrestling.
Yeah, it definitely was. Check us out on YouTube if you want, man. We'll find some more of those clips during the commercial break. Breaks, plural. We've talked a lot about the 49ers. Obviously, the Cowboys get their deal done with CeeDee Lamb. Hopefully, the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk can move in the same, because I'm not sure that the Jamar deal is going to get done, to be honest with you. Mm. That could be an in-season deal.
Do you think he plays?
He returned to practice. Like, I mean, the leverage.
He'll play because he has a.
No, like, he's practicing, though. I think Jamar's practicing.
And he's got another year next year, too. Yeah. So
it's not like. So he has 2 years left.
Yeah, he's got this year and next
That's
year.
That's tough.
His situation was a little different.
That's tough. Outside of the contracts, Trent Williams, I'll include him in that, and Brandon Ayuk. After, and maybe preseason doesn't matter, but knowing that we've got a couple of guys banged up, what's the biggest concern for the 49ers headed into that September 9th game, headed into the start of the season?
That's a good question.
And I know it's tough to remove, you know, because it's obvious what it is right now. It's your top wide receiver isn't there, and for my money, I think he's the most important player on the team. Mm. I know Christian McCaffrey, you can make the argument there. To me, Trent Williams, you talk about the straw that stirs the drink, man. He might be the drink in the ice and the cup. Like that dude does so much and means so much for the San Francisco 49ers team. I want to see this get done. I want to see this get worked out. So I understand this question is a bit tricky. But is there anything that is concerning once you remove those two components?
The offensive line is always an issue, and that's like even with Trent Williams there. You know, the offensive line is always a little spotty to start the season, it feels like, or coming out of camp for this team. So that's something that's a concern, especially when you talk about going up against, in that game specifically, that New York Jets defense. I mean, that defense is ferocious, even without Hassan Reddick. So, you know, that's a bit of a concern, but I hate to sound like this. Roster wise, I don't see a whole lot of concern. The mentals, the vibes, the energy is the biggest concern for me. We talked a little bit about that last night on Sports Sunday. And it's just the vibes. When I look at the roster and you know, I'm just gonna assume for argument's sake, Trent and IU come back. I mean, they're loaded everywhere, roster wise, at every position. It looks like they have a level of depth you know, with some of these rookies they have and some of the things we've seen in the preseason. So on paper is not where I'm concerned. It's the vibes. It's trying to get kickstarted back into a situation where it's like, all right, you know, we're going to push forward. We're getting past the Super Bowl hangover, so to speak. And, you know, we're going to get back into the flow of things and try to win the Super Bowl again. And that's something that worries me. I can't escape that, saying, like, you know, last year I was talking to my neighbor, shout out to my man Ender. I was talking to him about it, and we've talked about it. Man, it just felt like
last
year.
You have neighbors? Like, how far away is he from
you?
They're
right next door.
I don't think that.
They're right next door. On
across the lake?
No. On both sides. Across the street, everything. They're right there. What are you talking about?
You take a boat to their house?
Yeah,
that's what I was wondering.
Like the in the show, the Ozarks, like, they had neighbors. It's just,
that's right. They were just really far away.
Over there. Yeah.
You spoke to each other through drones.
Yeah,
that's what it was. I'm sorry. Continue. You were talking about the 49ers. You were being serious.
Especially for this blasphemy. This is ridiculous.
I was just asking. Like, people want to know.
It's got a driveway, just like everybody else. Next door, boom. Next door, boom. Right there.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, next door is just 30 yards away.
No, it's like
I think
30.
One of my favorite things that we didn't discuss last week was that, however, the first 1,000 episodes, Kenny is like pretended to be regular like us.
I am regular.
It's very...
I'm the everyday man.
I'm just like you guys.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.